Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time on WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz and 9.330 megahertz out of Monticello, Maine. Now, if you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. And if you'd like to visit our website, it is hourofthetime.com. That's hourofthetime.com. It's a website full of research materials, permanent research areas, news updates, etc. Now, if you'd like to email either myself or Rob Houghton, the co-host and webmaster, you may do so right at the top of the website, hourofthetime.com. Go there, there's a contact us link. My email address is hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, your donations for the research materials through the DVDs, VHS tapes, the audio tapes, CDs, the books, we are listener supported. Your donations for those items, so you can do your own research at your own leisure at home, is how we stay on the air and keep the website going and keep having the great guests and the great programming and do all the great research that we do. So please remember that. 1 hour episodes and your choice of CD or tape, just specify, or $10 postage paid. That is one good way to help support the Hour of the Time, and you get the information to use over and over and over again at your home on your own time. Now, today we have a very special guest on, Dr. Lima Lebo. She is going to discuss Codex Alimentarius and some of the ramifications and the other entities revolving around that so-called piece of world legislation. Dr. Lebo, are you there?
I am.
Alrighty, and how are you today?
I'm fine, Doyle. How about you?
Good. And how's the weather out there where you're at?
Well, we had a lovely snowstorm yesterday, and now it's clear and crisp and beautiful.
Good.
And it's a lovely storm because I didn't shovel the driveway.
Well, that makes it all the better. Now, Dr. Lebo, I was wondering, could you give the audience maybe a brief autobiography, if you don't mind?
Certainly.
Okay.
I graduated from medical school in 1970 from Albert Einstein College of Medicine. And the reason I went to medical school was that I was very impressed by the fact that we knew so little about the brain and so little about why and how emotions could change the way we see things and feel about our life. And I wanted to get the tools to open the intellectual black box, because that's what the brain was in those days. There was nothing to tell us how the structure and the function fit together very well, or very little at that time. And so I went to medical school. I took a residency in adult psychiatry, and then I took a fellowship, which is an additional several years of training in child and adolescent psychiatry. And I finished my training in 1975. At that time, drugs were just beginning to make their way into the world of psychiatry. So I watched, as I then practiced psychiatry in a private practice setting for 20 years, I watched the encroachment of what was given the very dignified name of biological psychiatry. Biological psychiatry means using drugs to change the way the brain functions. And gradually, after going from antipsychotics and antidepressants for adults, biological psychiatry began not creeping but galloping over the brains of children and adolescents. And I was duly horrified by the overuse of medication, and I determined that there must be better ways to do things that didn't damage the brain, either the adult brain or the pediatric or adolescent brain, because I am convinced, and biochemistry is the reason for my conviction, that when you give a drug, what you're doing is getting effects, you're creating effects, by poisoning enzyme systems. Enzymes are the stuff of life. Without enzymes, we have no life. Enzymes are little protein machines that repeat the same action over and over and over again. They're little biochemical miracles. And if you poison them, you get changes in the way things are happening, but you also get changes elsewhere because enzymes are very, very, very complicated, and they're not just found in one place. They're found in many places in the body. A perfect example is Vioxx. Vioxx interferes with the functioning of a COX-2 enzyme group. Now, the COX-2 enzyme group is involved in pain, true, but it's also present in every muscle, including muscles that have to beat regularly, like the heart. And if you interfere with it, you get problems, like the 136,000, some say 139,000 Americans who died because of the use of a COX-2 inhibitor for pain, when in fact that pain that they were taking the COX-2 inhibitor for could have been treated with natural, safe, non-dangerous, natural, as I said, substances, including vitamin C, including phenylalanine, including a whole variety of things which make pain go away without damaging the system. So I practiced psychiatry and looked for ways to help people without drugs, and in the main was pretty successful. And then in 1991, I was sitting at a meeting that I was running, and a neuroscientist was discussing the technique of biofeedback using the brain. Give the brain information about how it's functioning, it will correct its functioning and get better and better and better at what it's doing. And I was very excited by that, and I got involved with neurobiofeedback, and I'm currently the president of the Neurobiofeedback Certification Board, because it is a way of regulating the brain and the body, the emotions, from a voluntary perspective. And then I thought, well, we could help people even faster and even better if they didn't have nutritional deficits keeping them from being well. And so I became a nutritional physician. And then I realized that when people are toxic, they don't heal as well. So I became an environmental physician. And along the way, I have been exploring the use of frequency as another way of helping people be well. And that takes us up to the present time. So I'm a nutritional physician. I'm a neurobiofeedback practitioner. I use various kinds of frequency and detoxification strategies, and all of this is devoted to helping people be well by treating the underlying problem, because, as you know, allopathic or conventional Western physicians suppress symptoms. They don't cure conditions, and I take the opposite route. I try to cure the underlying problem that's causing the symptom or disease. Well, along came the DSHEA, the Dietary Supplements Health Education Act, in 1994. And, of course, I was very much in favor of the DSHEA because the DSHEA makes all of the dietary supplements and nutrients that you can now buy at your health food store or get from a doctor like me or a naturopath or a chiropractor or a nutritionist. The DSHEA makes all of these items foods, and that's a good thing. They're not drugs. They're foods. They come from foods. They come from the things that we eat. They come from herbs. And the DSHEA is our friend as far as legislative friendships go. And there are movements afoot to undermine DSHEA and to remove these supplements and nutrients, fish oil, CoQ10, vitamin C, vitamin E, et cetera, et cetera, to remove them from the food category and put them into the drug category. What that means, of course, is that if you don't own the tryptophan molecule patent or the niacin patent, you will not be able to spend the exorbitant amount of money that it takes to bring a molecule through the testing procedure and have it declared safe and effective by the FDA. And, of course, we don't have to look very far to see that that safe and effective designation may have a few flaws in it. Just look at the recent spate of dangerous effects that have been made public. And so the show has to be protected and expanded because our health freedoms are about to be severely interfered with on that basis. If that weren't bad enough, along comes the fact that the current Congress is so constituted that the likelihood of not harmonizing with CODEX, which I know your listeners are well familiar with, the likelihood of not harmonizing with Codex Alimentarius is extremely low unless we, the people of these United States, take it upon ourselves to make ourselves audible, to make ourselves effective, and to make this issue what I like to call a poison pill for politicians, by which I mean I can't stop the influence peddling that goes on with the special interests, the pharmaceutical industry, the pesticide and chemical industry, the energy industry, the food industry, agribusiness. I can't stop that influence. What I can do is try to help the American people make any politician who goes anywhere near voting for anything that restricts our health rights or not voting for things that would support our health rights unreelectable, because it is my belief that the primary function of a politician is to become reelected. And so it is our power, collectively, to decide whether or not that happens. If we take that power into our hands, I believe that we can make sure that the Congress of the United States does nothing to impede our health rights and freedoms, because if we lose DSHEA and if we lose the rights and freedoms that we currently have, which are little enough, by having the United States harmonize with the Codex regulations, we the people will be increasingly toxic, increasingly ill, and we will not have the tools and techniques of natural medicine to protect ourselves. And the tools and techniques of natural medicine are the only tools and techniques that in fact work for the chronic diseases which bedevil us and kill us earlier and earlier and more numerously. So we are dying of toxicities and of food-based deficits and illnesses resolving. The only treatment for the chronic degenerative diseases that are epidemic in our society are the natural ones. And I am fighting, and I hope your listeners will help that fight, to make sure that we do not lose those health freedoms, because we cannot afford to lose them. How's that for a quick bio?
That's very good, Doctor. Dr. Labo, obviously, you are very knowledgeable in your subject area and have done your research, and you've got the hands-on practicing in your career and in the field with patients. I like how you brought out, because I'd like to, you know, stress to the audience, we don't rehearse these interviews, so you weren't told what to say or anything. I like how you brought out that the fact that the normal allopathic route is to simply suppress symptoms, not really cure the disease, how a toxic environment leads to disease, and how we need to have that nourishment, that health as a basis to avoid the problems in the first place. And that is really the effort of our health excuse me, health commentaries on this show is to give people that health freedom to be able to make informed decisions concerning their health and their livelihood on their own, at home, and take care of themselves. Now, as far as the legislative standpoint, what are we looking at, and what maybe entities would you like to comment on concerning the codex?
Absolutely. I'd be very happy to talk about that. But let me go back to what you said a moment ago about informed health choices. When I had a radio show, because I've done what you're doing and I love it, when I had a radio show, it was called Take Control of Your Health. Because that's the point. If people do not take control of their health, if they hand their health control over to health regulators, called allopathic physicians or conventional Western physicians, who may be the nicest people in the world with the best interest in the world, in the main, these people are controlled by the insurance companies that are paying their bills, who tell them what they can do, what they can't do, who tell them that they'll pay them less and less money, and therefore they have to spend more and more, they have to see more and more patients, spending less and less time with them. You know, my initial interview with a patient takes 3.5 hours. There's that much to talk about, not the 11 minutes that is the national average for a new patient visit. And if you don't spend the time, you must whip out your prescription pad and write a prescription, because you've got to get on to the next patient, because you've got to earn a living. You've got kids in college. You've got mortgage payments. And the insurance company is treating you like a slave, and you're allowing it. And so these two forces are, and the drug companies run your education, both medical school, they support your textbooks, they pay for the research, and they pay for your continuing education credits that you need to keep your license. They give you little dry pizzas and wilted salads and a slideshow for lunch, and you will write their prescriptions for their substances after that experience. So doctors are not in a position to be given control over anything at this point. You, the individual, need to take control of your life. Now, I'm sorry I digressed, but I feel so strongly about that I wanted to make that point. Legislatively, I am looking at Snopes.com, the urban legend people. And I go to Snopes all the time, and I check out things that come across the Internet and things that I hear about. And usually they're pretty helpful. On the issue of Codex, if you go to Snopes.com, you will see an entry called Vitamin C, S-E-E, instead of the letter C. And it says, claim, American consumers risk losing their right to purchase and use vitamins, minerals, and dietary supplements. And then they debunk that incorrectly. And then they claim in June 2005, the USA will be forced to accept the Codex regulation of vitamins, minerals, and dietary supplements. False, they say. Bills proposing the regulation of dietary supplements are currently before Congress. Not anymore, they say. And then they have Dr. Heath's little article that circulated around the Internet, which I think is extremely well-written, and they allegedly debunked the article, or attempted to debunk the article, saying that the bills that he mentions, S-722, the Dietary Supplement Safety Act of 2003, and H.R. 3377, the Dietary Supplement Access and Awareness Act, have now been killed, and neither, and both of these bills expired before they were voted upon in the 108th Congress. And because of that, Dr. Heath, they say, is completely wrong. Well, Dr. Heath is completely right, and Snopes.com is either misinformed or part of a disinformation campaign. And remember, the interests that would like to see DSHEA gutted, the Dietary Supplements Health and Education Act gutted, and would like to see Codex become our regulatory status, have all the money in the world, and therefore they can put out all the well-crafted disinformation they want. but it's still not true. H.R. 3377 and S.722 will, we understand, be introduced into the 109th Congress. They'll have new numbers, and the pressure to pass them will be severe. So, yeah, it's true. Technically, these two numbers have expired because that's the way it always goes. Congress always drops the old number, and when a bill is reintroduced, gives it a new number in its new session. Now, in terms, so that's a technicality that is being bruited about as if it meant something, and it does not. And then they go on to say the codex is voluntary, 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 voluntary. Well, yeah, codex is voluntary, 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 as long as you are willing to volunteer to comply with it so that you don't have trade sanctions applied across the board to you by the World Trade Organization. The FDA has among its policies and standards the following, which I will read to you, if I can find it. Nope, I don't have it in front of me, so I will have to paraphrase it.
That's okay. Go ahead, Doctor.
Pardon me?
That's okay. Go ahead and just tell it.
In October of 1995, in the United States Federal Register, the policies and standards of the FDA are stated such that, quote, almost a quote, because I don't have it in front of me, if there is a foreign standard which has been completed or is imminent in its completion, that standard will take precedence over a domestic standard. I don't know. Sounds like codex to me. The treaty regulations of the World Trade Organization, which we signed on to, which is another problem that I'm sure your listeners are very familiar with, say that the laws and regulations of the World Trade Organization supersede those of the member states. You're probably well familiar with that issue. Mm-hmm. So it defies logic for me to be able to understand how anybody can say that if Codex is a voluntary standard and we are forced by the economic sanctions that we cannot tolerate to accept that voluntary standard, that's really voluntary, because in the courts of this country, that would be considered coercion, and it would not be considered a voluntary status. Furthermore, I'm sure your listeners are familiar with the fact that in July, there will be another meeting of the WTO at which Codex is expected to be ratified. And Codex is about more than supplements. Codex is about herbs, which will be restricted and prevented from being used in anything but trivial conditions like hemorrhoids and headaches. It's about toxic levels that are being set so high that we will be even more poisoned than we are now by a factor of several fold. Pesticides and chemical residues will be allowed that are just deadly. Irradiation of food will be mandated. Genetically modified organisms will be required to be legal everywhere. As you probably know, the farmers in Iraq, under their new constitution, which allegedly we have brought them under the banner of freedom, requires that they buy their seed from Monsanto, GMO from Monsanto, and it is forbidden to save seed to plant for next year's crop. And all of this has been done without any active representation by the people who will be most strongly affected, by the people whose health will be collapsed by this set of draconian and irrational but very, very profitable regulations. There is a prominent doctor who's going about, and I will not name him, saying that this is a hoax and it won't have anything to do with anybody except the third world countries. If it has to do with the third world countries and not the developed countries, why would the poor countries be saddled by these strict rules, which we don't have to play with. If it's not something that's going to affect the developed countries, tell me, is Australia not a developed country? Australia has already accepted Codex and is harmonizing with it. Is Canada not a developed country? France, Germany, England, the EU has already accepted and is harmonizing with Codex. Why would we poison the emerging nations with higher loads of pesticides and think that we can get away with that and not poison ourselves? Well, what happens is that the poison food comes in from countries where it's being grown under such dreadful, dreadful conditions. Why would we prevent the emerging nations from using local tribal medicines and Ayurvedic medicine and traditional medicine when they can't afford the Western pharmaceuticals? That doesn't sound very benign, and it doesn't make any sense. The pharmaceuticals can be afforded by the developed countries, and people who are healthy don't need as many pharmaceuticals. So clearly, if it's a market strategy, it makes no sense to just enforce it in the underdeveloped countries. And this is the kind of disinformation that's being brooded about to get people to go back to sleep. Nah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, Dr. Label, that is a very common tactic amongst the disinformation agents and those who would have the population of the world come under their control. The fact of Iraq's farming methods being changed under the so-called new constitution is proof of food control, which equals people control. If they don't have heirloom seeds that they've been using for thousands of years, and they have only non-propagating, genetically modified seeds, they are dependent upon Monsanto crop after crop after crop for their food. The same as the use of pesticides, because a lot of those genetically modified seeds have been modified to such that then you have to also apply certain pesticides to even get them to grow in the first place. There again, you're buying those from Monsanto and your big drug and chemical cartels. Now, Dr. Label, we got to take a musical break, and we'll be right back with you, Dr. Label, discussing Codex Alimentarius on the Hour of the Time here on WBCQ at Monticello, Maine.
I feel the same.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back here at the Hour of the Time with another wonderful live episode with another wonderful special guest, Dr. Labo. Now, you are listening to the Hour of the Time on WBCQ The Planet, 7.415 megahertz and 9.330 megahertz out of Monticello, Maine. Now, remember, ladies and gentlemen, the Hour of the Time is able to do this research, track down and document items, and have guests on through listener support. One way you can support us is obviously through just direct donations, but preferably, even though it involves overhead, obviously, we would prefer that you donate for research materials like tapes of today's show. That way you get something to take home, to study, to share with your friends and family. That is the ideal situation. Now, you can do that either by writing us at Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona 85925. The best way to see the constant current updates is, of course, the website, which is hourofthetime.com. It has the full catalog there, the newest shows and specials highlight on the front, plus the whole catalog, which will be made much easier and searchable here very shortly. And also, you may request a catalog through the mail so you can have a hard copy at home. If you'd like to contact us at the Hour of the Time, you can either use the link right at the top of the page to contact myself or Rob Houghton, co-host and webmaster. My email address is hourofthetime@hotmail.com, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. And the phone number here at the studio for you, excuse me, to share research materials, to ask questions, etc., and to call in when we have call-in shows on the air. It's all the same number, 928-333-2942. That's 928-333-2942. Now, Dr. Labo, who is very astute in her field and has done her research, has her facts, and knows what she's talking about, is putting out some very important information that affects you, your families, and your livelihood. And remember, you heard it here on the Hour of the Time. Now, she has some wonderful organizations that keep, that she has started to keep the people informed on these subjects and to participate in actions to stop the encroachment, especially the world encroachment, into our health, and to help reestablish our health and livelihood freedoms. Now, Dr. Labo, would you please give out all that various information that you've given me? That way the audience can take full benefit of it as well.
I'd be delighted to, Doyle. I am the medical director of the Natural Solutions Foundation, And you can reach me at Health Freedom. That's one word, healthfreedom at optonline, optonline .net. That's healthfreedom at optonline .net. Website is under construction. It will be healthfreedomusa.org, but as happens with projects, it got a little bit slowed down. So please contact me at healthfreedom@optonline.net, and I will send you the materials and the references and the newsletter that we have that shortly will be on the website. I would encourage you to support what I'm doing. Every dollar that you send as support will go directly to this battle. We have commissioned a major documentary to help people understand what this battle is about and to counter the disinformation. In 1994, Kevin Miller, who is an internationally recognized and very, very skillful and brilliant documentary maker, created a film called Let Truth Be the Bias, which was narrated by James Earl Jones. And Let Truth Be the Bias was a very active informational tool in the successful fight to pass the Dietary Supplements Health Education Act, or DSHEA, which we need to support because it's under attack, it's being gutted. I have commissioned Kevin, who is a brilliant, committed, and very knowledgeable man in this area, to create another film. And this film will be ready in about 5 weeks. And the film will be a way of telling the story quickly, efficiently, and accurately, so that things like this myth that Deschet is, Codex is a myth, will be dispelled effectively and persuasively. That's a very expensive endeavor. And any help that we can get would be wonderful. If you contact me again at healthfreedom@optonline.net, I will be happy to send you information on that. We are doing other things that that will help maintain the health freedom of all of us. And I've created what I call a health freedom bank. And you can make a deposit of time, talent, connections, suggestions, or money to keep the health freedom bank functioning. If we don't have health freedom, we are all going to suffer very, very serious effects. We will become sicker, and we will die, and we will have fewer and fewer options to help ourselves with. It's tremendously important to support Deschet, and it's tremendously important to make sure that we are not harmonized with Codex. It is my intent to have Congress flooded with at least a million faxes in the next 4 weeks, because for various reasons that we can get into if you want, Doyle, it looks as if the harmonization vote in the United States is intended to take place around June 1st in the Congress. Now, letters are decontaminated post 9/11 and post anthrax scare, so that it takes anywhere from 3 weeks to 3 months for a letter to reach a congressperson. When they do, they sort of fall apart. They've been destroyed by the decontamination anti-bioterrorism process. Letters are out. They don't work because they don't get there, and they're poisoned when they do. Faxes work. Email, a busy staffer can delete today's emails, and your email voice never got heard. But a piece of paper is heard. And if we can get faxes opposing the gutting of Deschet, supporting Deschet, in other words, and opposing harmonization, if we can get at least a million faxes there, then we have a chance to be heard. You remember earlier I talked about making curbing of health freedoms a political poison pill, so that elected representatives cannot get reelected if they take away our health freedoms. I think that's our strategy. I think that's our primary strategy right now, to put off that June 1st vote, to make sure that we have time to marshal more and more forces, including legal ones if need be, and protect our health freedoms and, in fact, expand them. So if you will contact me at the email that I gave, which is healthfreedom@optonline.net, I will send you sample letters, and I will also send you a quick and easy way to get the fax number of your senators, or you can, senators and representatives, or you can go online and just do a search for congressional fax numbers, and then you'll be asked for your zip code, it'll give it to you, and you can pose your own letter that way. I'm willing to help and support you with the suggested letters, which have all the details in it, or you can do your own. But please, please, fax your representatives, fax your senators. Tell them that you want your health freedoms maintained.
Yeah, and Dr. Lavo, one thing I'd like to point out that the audience may or may not have realized is through their so-called decontamination process due to supposed terrorism that runs amok, according to Congress and Senate, that many, many, many millions of letters that were meant to be on the desk of congressmen and senators throughout the election campaign, especially when it's the best time to hit them in the pocketbook and to slow them down or stop them, didn't make it because that was the excuse. So they either got there destroyed, they didn't even make it in the first place, or they made it way, way, way too late. Now,
and fax machines.
Yeah, the fax is a very good tool, because if you are sitting in your throne there in Washington, D.C., and your office is flooded with faxes being printed out, you can't ignore them. Now, you can, of course, just take them to the shredder or the incinerary eventually, but it is nowadays, it's about our most effective means, besides cornering them when they are in your district, which is rare, and go to their meetings, which I suggest, stand up and corner your so-called elected representatives face-to-face in front of those news cameras and show them to everybody else to be, well, prove that they're, most of them are ignorant of the facts. Now, another nice thing about, if you want to, which I highly recommend, help out to expound and proliferate the information on these issues around not just elected representatives at the federal level, but at all levels. These faxes are a very good tool, because sometimes you may just not have the time. You may have it in your head, but maybe you don't feel you can articulate it really nicely into a nice letter, or you just can't seem to dedicate the time to articulate everything you know. She has done the research. She has a nice and really nice written piece. And that way it is much simpler to get the information out quicker. And it can, again, it should be used on all levels. There's boards going on at county levels all over this country, horrible draconian type so-called committees and councils under the guise of Homeland Security that are at your county and local levels that are making decisions for you, for your future, restricting your freedoms concerning not just health but several things. So they're also on the local level. These can be a tool across the board.
Absolutely. And the Natural Solutions Foundation is about health freedom. It's not about Codex. It's not about the show. It's about every threat to our health freedom. In addition to faxing by paper, you can also sign up for an e-fax service at very little cost or free. The cost varies from nothing to very little. And an e-fax allows you to fax directly from your computer to their fax machine. So you do save one piece of paper, which is nice. And it's very handy. All you have to do is push a button, and it sends your fax, and you can have multiple recipients to your fax. The other thing that I would like all of you who are listening to Doyle and to me today to do is to disseminate this information. Disseminate it to your entire network. People have networks. Every network has people in it who each have a network. If 10 people hear my voice and disseminate this information to 10 people, and that cycle is repeated 10 times, suddenly 1 million people have heard the message. And if each of those people sends a fax, shazam, we've got 1 million faxes in Congress. But we all have at least 3 representatives in Congress, and that means we have 3 million faxes. The point is, we the people are powerful if we take our power into our own hands. Individually, we are, of course, at the mercy of the forces that are doing things that really shouldn't be done. So it's tremendously important to disseminate the information. I will send you, if you contact me, I will send you emails that you can disseminate to everyone that you know. Companies have circles of influence. Practitioners have clients and patients. All of them need to become activated. And apathy is the friend of tyranny.
Yes, Dr. Labo, that is a true statement to the utmost. And another way that this information obviously gets disseminated is through venues, and most notably is like the Hour of the Time radio broadcast, giving guests the opportunity to put out the information, get out the word, so that then you, in turn, as an informed person, can go about and inform your family, your friends, on the issues that are key to us. Now, Dr. Labo, I would like to know if you could please cover a couple things for me. Sure, I know you. I'm sure you'll do a fine job. The first off, I guess the two main areas would be, we briefly covered it, but I think people need a a little more understanding of, for instance, the COX-2 and what it really is throughout your body, and what that FDA panel ruling Friday, how that affects and how that really sets the tone for the FDA's opinion, how bad it's bought off by the drug and chemical cartels. Also,
that's a very large subject, and I would be very pleased to come back another time and talk about it in depth. However, the very short answer, the bottom line is, all drugs poison enzyme systems. Enzymes are the thing that create things that create life. You cannot poison or suppress an enzyme system without consequences throughout the entire system. You may think you're accomplishing a very narrow thing like pain suppression, but in fact, while you are suppressing the COX-2 enzyme system in the joints, forget about the heart muscle, in the joints, you're also accelerating the damage that arthritis does to the joint. So you feel less pain, but you are speeding up becoming crippled, perhaps needing a new knee or hip or whatever. When children are given Ritalin, for instance, after a time, it literally cuts off the receptors for dopamine, which is a neurotransmitter that we need to feel alive, that we need to feel joy and intensity in our lives. And so children who have been on Ritalin are known to become involved in high-risk activities later on in life as adolescents and as young adults. These high-risk activities, in fact, are life-threatening. They're criminal behaviors, they're drug addiction, they're things that you don't want your child involved in. And the reason, we hypothesize, is that these dopamine receptors have there are fewer of them, and so they need higher intensity output in order to feel alive. And all of us as human beings will do anything that's necessary to maintain the feeling that we are connected to life. That's how we're genetically wired. And the long-term studies on the effects of these drugs are either suppressed by the drug companies when they're negative or simply not done. Drugs that are used in children, for instance, are studied on average about 6 weeks. 6 weeks? The children are on these drugs for years and years and years, and no one knows the results of these powerful enzyme suppressors in children's lives. We're now seeing that people who are on SSRIs, the antidepressants, the class of drugs called SSRIs, develop osteoporosis at an increased, or may develop osteoporosis at an increased rate, because serotonin is also found on the surface of the bones, and when you inhibit the serotonin system, you change the way bones are sculpted and you lose calcium. Now, that's the point, is that we are very, very arrogant in our science, in our culture. We think that because we understand one tiny piece of the picture, we can fool Mother Nature by taking away her tools. Mother Nature is very, very complicated, and she is very economical. If she creates an enzyme and puts it in the brain, she's also going to put it in the gut. She's also going to put it in the elbow. She's also going to put it in the heart muscle. And if we mess it up, we're going to have consequences system-wide, which is why natural treatments which support the enzyme systems of the body, and I can't say this too strongly, natural treatments may have side effects because of overdosing, which shouldn't happen if you're using them properly, but they won't poison you and they won't kill you. When you look at natural medicine, you have to say, where are the bodies? When you look at pharmaceutical medicine, it's easy to find the bodies. They're all over. They're littering the sidewalk, so to speak. That doesn't mean that drugs should be eliminated from our lives. Acute situations, trauma, acute events really do very well with pharmaceutical medicine. But chronic diseases do not, because pharmaceuticals suppress enzyme systems and cause more and more and more disease and damage that only shows up later. And if you feel safe taking pharmaceuticals, you need to rethink that. If you feel safe taking natural substances, you're on the right track.
But Doctor, one thing that I think is good to point out also, you brought up the Ritalin, and as long as you have the school system and the drug-supported doctors pushing Ritalin on children that then need that extreme level or extreme risk level to feel that zest of life, you're the same entities, because they're all hand-in-hand in the pocketbook, like your government, when they go about with their Hegelian tactics and draconian rules, they have plenty of people to throw on the front line or to use for outrageous things around the world, whether that be incredible wars and strikes, whether that be even going door to door in your neighborhoods, because you have a whole generation or multiple generations that need that extreme risk, and they need that extreme high, if you will, to feel normal at that point. So it isn't an issue to them to do things that are not normal in a human psyche or physical body. For instance, the use of cocaine and morphines on troops officially sanctioned by governments and militaries during many of our great battles, especially used heavily in World War I to get them to do things that weren't, they weren't rational to begin with, knowing that there's poison gas, knowing that there's machine gun nests waiting, and to run at them as a human wave. Some of the most idiotic tactics ever worked out were worked out in World War I, and of course the death toll eventually got military leaders to rewrite those tactics, because they need live soldiers to keep fighting, not dead ones. But to the politicians playing the numbers game, where the soldier is just a pawn, a tool, it's not an issue. The numbers are just collateral damage to them.
I wish, Doyle, that I could disagree with anything you've said. Unfortunately, I believe that you are completely correct. And the drugging of America that we are watching, where one drug after another is introduced, and then another drug for side effects, and another drug for the damage that the two of them cause together, and then you have that exponentially increasing until seniors in this country are on an average of 10 prescription drugs each. That's insane. That's completely insane. And the things that they're on drugs for, A, could have been prevented in the first place, and B, can be treated naturally, reducing the number of drugs and the harm that the drugs do, and of course reducing the profits. But the point is that people must stand up for their rights to be healthy and make choices for their own health, or with the combination of Deshaies being gutted and Codex upon us, and the Patriots Act making it legal to inject anything at all into our bodies that the government decides is for the public good, God help us, suddenly we are a destroyed culture. We are a destroyed humanity, and we cannot allow that to happen.
No, and that, I really think, Dr. Lebo, is the reason for the hour of the time, not just in the health arena, but in all arenas that threaten our freedom and our existence as a free people. And the purpose of specialists like you in your prospective fields, see, you're not just saying that this one little piece of supposed legislation is the issue and we need to fight it. You know that it's a broader picture, and people need to realize that. You mentioned the Patriot Act. You mentioned the compounding effects of pharmaceuticals, and you mentioned the senior age. One thing that has been proven to do as far as the pharmaceuticals, when you look in the major areas demographically where seniors who are on these incredible levels of pharmaceuticals, they end up in population pockets, of course, demographically throughout the country. There has been numerous documentation of when the city utility workers have gone in to do regular maintenance work on the infrastructure, for instance, sewer. They find vast numbers of these pills, I mean billions of them, that the body couldn't even assimilate. It absorbed the poisons, it couldn't assimilate the filler, of course, and a lot of times the manufacturer's name can still be read on these, where they were passing the system and also where these pockets of people have congregated, your seniors, your children at school, age levels that are on these drugs, around your health institutions, the water has been contaminated.
Absolutely.
It has been contaminated to the point
that use that water are then contaminated with the metabolites, the downstream biochemical products of the active ingredient. And the way the body works, Doyle, is that the downstream products, so-called metabolites, are far, 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 far more toxic than the actual substance itself. So if I give you a drug of 200 milligrams, a tablet of 200 milligrams of drug X, your body will use some of it and get some effects from it. And everything else in that tablet that the body then creates as waste product so it can get rid of it through liver decontamination and detoxification, those downstream metabolites are very toxic. And that's what's in the water. And that's what we're feeding our livestock and our poultry and watering our crops with. And that's what we're drinking again. So it's like drinking and using for growing and all the things that we need water for, increasingly toxic levels of things which have never, ever been studied. No one knows the effect, but we do know that male fetuses are feminized in utero from the effects of many of these things, that frogs are dying, and frogs are a very good early indicator of the health of the ecology, that livestock and wild creatures are showing more and more levels of malformation from pesticide residue and from drug residues in the water that they're dependent upon for life. So the problem is not just whether or not you have vitamin C or vitamin E or CoQ10 available. The problem is what is happening to your world.
Dr. Labo, I'm sorry, we're running out of time now. We're at the top of the hour. So if you'd give out your contact information after I give out the station real quick and then hold the line. You've been listening to Dr. Labo and her very informative talk on legislation and health on the Hour of the Time. You can reach us at thehourofthetime.com or write us at P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. Dr. Label, would you give out your main contact information again, please?
The Natural Solutions Foundation, and you can reach me at healthfreedom@optonline.net. That's healthfreedom, one word, at optonline.net. And I'll send you information that you can send to everyone you know.
All right, thank you. And we're going to now end the Hour of the Time on WBCQ The Planet. Be sure to tune in every day to hear more wonderful research on the Hour of the Time. Thank you.